So we're talking about postmodernism tonight. Now, hopefully that word sounds a little bit familiar. I've used it before in this series. And if you remember, we started off looking at pre-modernism and then modernism and then postmodernism. And we've been looking at all of these other ones in between, like emotionalism, skepticism, naturalism, all of these, where what has happened since pre-modernism to now is slowly sources of truth have been getting knocked out. And you can imagine God, the Bible, that source of truth is long gone. Okay, that was gone with modernism and when naturalism started coming onto the scene. So now we're on to postmodernism. Now, some of the other ones that we've looked at already, emotionalism, skepticism, those are smaller philosophies, ways of thinking that are blended between those three major eras. So we've been looking at these different philosophies. Now, don't let that word scare you. Philosophies are just ways of thinking, okay? Different ideas about mostly where truth comes from. And it's important for us to not, this sounds boring. Don't do that. Because where we get our truth from is so important. Do you know why? Anybody? Because the truth that we ingest is what we use to make decisions with. That's our foundation for the types of decisions that we make. So different ideas about where truth comes from. Ideas about who knows what, from who knows where, because who knows why, and all of these different things. But I hope you're beginning to see how sneaky and how powerful, maybe even how entrenched these ideas are in our culture. Some of the ones that we've already looked at, I've been kind of eye-opening experience to see how many of them have infiltrated the churches in ways that I never even saw that before. Kids used to ask, what was it like? Like when you would teach the story about the Israelites crossing the Red Sea. Do you remember that story? You know, and God parted the waters and the children of Israel passed on dry ground. Okay. And it used to be kids would ask, what was it like to walk on dry ground after God parted the Red Sea? You know, now they ask, did that really happen? You see the big shift there? Okay. They would just take that truth because it came from the Bible. And that was truth. The Bible used to settle disputes outside of church even. Well, if it comes from the Bible, it must be true. But not anymore. And we've gone so far away from that. We have these messages that we're going to look at tonight, even all of these broken pieces of messages are absorbed by all of us because they're all around us in the culture. OK. And they're especially absorbed by our children because where our minds are, like mine is full of 53 years. Feels like 54 years of information today, okay? And it's full, okay? A child's mind is like an empty sponge. And they soak this stuff in. And some of the smaller philosophies that we've looked at, like emotionalism and skepticism and things like that, looking back now, even at the cartoons that I watched when I was a kid, those messages are in there, okay? They're in there. And they're just little pieces. It's not, they're not reject the Bible, okay? But just little piece here, little piece there, and they start falling into our brain, and then our brain puts them together to where they form pictures, powerful messages when those pieces get put together. So we need to learn how to address these questions in a way that makes sense for our own selves even. Okay. Now, we all have a philosophy to live by. If I were to ask you, what's your philosophy of life? Okay. Many people would probably say, I don't know. I never even thought about that. But we all have a philosophy by which we live. And that simply means this. We all live our lives by certain assumptions, basic beliefs about God, about good and evil, about what is truth. Is there an afterlife? Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? Everyone has assumptions, at least about that. And those that is their philosophy. I mean, so we have to make sure that our answers, our beliefs, are rooted in truth. Okay? I think it might have been last week or maybe the week before. It really rung true to me because growing up in a Baptist church, the things that I, quote, believed, I believed because I was told to believe them. And that's not enough, okay? When the postmodern culture around us, those messages call us to question the source of that truth. Could I have someone close those doors, okay? And whoever's making that noise, help them to stop. All right. So we have to make sure our answers, our beliefs are rooted in truth, not cultural trends. Many times our decisions are based on just that, cultural trends. And you can see that if you just kind of observe the evolution of churches and their beliefs or their standards, and they've evolved. They have really evolved. And I'm not saying that all the change was bad, but as the world moves, it seems the church moves along behind them. Now, the fundamental Baptist separated churches are always staying behind the world, but we move right along with them. And in that sense, cultural trends do influence some of the decisions that we make. But one source is a sure foundation, okay? The Bible. The other source, the cultural trends, are not a sure foundation. Obviously, they're always changing, okay? Do you remember 40 years ago, I Love Lucy? Yeah, and when it became bedtime and there was the bedroom scene. Now, this wasn't a fundamental Baptist television program. There's Ricky and Lucy, separate twin beds. Because the cultural trend of that time said it's not appropriate to put. And I think in real life they were married, weren't they? Yeah, but no, we can't do that. And now, whew, that's gone out the window. Cultural trends are always changing. It's not a sure foundation to base our beliefs on. Jesus taught the parable about building your life on the right foundation. Oh, we should have sung that tonight. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Okay, the foolish man built his house on what? Sand. The rains came down. What happened to the house on the sand? Smash. Right. Houses are getting smashed all around us today. Lives are getting smashed because their foundation has been built on cultural trends. Sand that's shifting. It's always changing. And that's what we're going to call postmodernism sand tonight anyway. So let me give you a quick history. Pre-modernism, that's what we started with first, viewed God or gods, okay, as the ultimate source of truth. And they observed some common sense, yes, but they didn't have the science knowledge. I mean, we're going back to, you know, Bible times here even. They didn't have the science knowledge to know a lot of the things that our kindergartners know. Things about weather, for example. So when it rained, they thought, oh, Zeus must be happy okay? And when there was lightning, ooh, Zeus is mad, okay? It was based on very little science. Then came the scientific revolution, okay? And science began to sprout up, and man learned that he was capable of understanding nature. And then things began to move, and they moved into what we've called the modernism era. Man was convinced that because of their understanding of science, okay, they're smart now, they could understand and come to truth about morals and non-science things. And so we're shifting away from God, even in the area of morals and non-science things. No God needed. Now, of course, that foundation didn't provide the answers to all of life's questions. So the reaction was postmodernism. And that's what we're looking at tonight. Postmodernism does away with all truth. A postmodern philosophy views truth as the same as power and aggression. Okay, so someone who claims to have truth, they are viewed as someone that has power, or I said aggression, I meant oppression. Think about this. The church says this is a sin, and this is a sin, and this is the way husbands and wives should react according to what the Bible says and authority structures. And what does the world say? You're just trying to oppress us and control us. Power and oppression. That's what postmodernism does with sources of truth. You can't tell me what to do. Have you heard that lately? Okay. And I'm not talking about just from a 5-year-old. I'm talking about grown adults out on the street, right? No one can say sex outside of marriage, abortion, homosexuality are immoral. No one can say that. If you do, you're trying to hold people down and hold people back. Oppression. But now, think about that sandy foundation that postmodernism is built on. No one can tell me that those things are wrong. Okay? That also means that no one can say, or no one can call murder, torture, sex slavery, you can't call those wrong either. For the same reasons that they say you can't say homosexuality is wrong, well then you can't say that these other things are wrong either. And if there are no absolute rights or wrong, and by the way, that's not a new development. We're already there. Okay. Back about a year or so ago, there was a proposition brought forth in California that made the age of consent between an adult and a minor all the way down to like 6 years old, 6 or 9 years old. The shifty sand. Okay. And if there are no absolute rights or wrongs, no one can criticize any moral choices, no matter how evil they are. And that's basically postmodernism says there's no rights, there's no absolute rights or wrongs. Well, then you, postmodernists, cannot say that child abuse is wrong, because you said there are no absolute rights or wrongs. In fact, you can't call anything evil with that philosophy. So let's look at number one, objective truth versus subjective truth. And I just want us to understand what these two things are. Objective truth is another way of saying absolute truth. Okay? Here's the definition for it. Statements or beliefs that are true for all people at all times and in all situations. Objective truth. Now this might illustrate the difference here. Objective truths are based on an object outside of our opinions or feelings. That's what makes it objective, even outside of our preferences. Okay, let me illustrate that for you this way. Take a look down at the seat you're sitting on right now. What color is that seat you're sitting on? I've heard a few say blue. Some of you are still thinking about it. Everyone said blue. It was an objective truth you just told me, because the object was outside of your sphere of feelings and preferences. Okay, that's what makes it objective truth. It's not determined. The color that you told me is not determined by your perception of it, whether you liked it or not. The color is objective. Now, let's go to subjective truth. Here's a definition. It's truth that is based on the person or the subject. That would be me. What is your favorite dessert? Well, we would all have different ones, wouldn't we? Okay. In your opinion, what do you feel is the best dessert in the entire world? Well, we would still have all different ones, because you, the subject, are using your preferences and opinions to come up with the truth. It's based on your favorite dessert is based on your palate, your taste buds, your personal preference. That is you, the subject. That's what makes it subjective truth. Postmodern culture says all truth statements are subjective. Now, we can't say abortion is wrong. Here's how it's said, and here's where some of this postmodern thinking has crept into the language of Christians too. Okay? Would you agree with me abortion is wrong? Absolutely. Thank you. I'm glad. Okay? But some would say it this way. Abortion is wrong for me. And it just made me the subject. And when Christians are saying that, they have walked away from the objective truth of God's word that says murder is wrong. Okay? How does all this play out? Well, this may explain why so many young people are leaving their faith. Now, it's not the only reason. There is not one answer to explain that, where we're at today. But their parents may have taught them objective truths from God's word, from the right foundation. God is real. Taught them that Christianity is true. Taught them that a person needs to repent of their sin. But somewhere along the way, these postmodern ideas have planted ideas into their minds so that when you say Christianity is real, what do you mean you're an atheist? God is real. They add, God is real for you, but not for me. And that's where those sneaky little phrases and things that we think are, yeah, they're harmless. They take our thinking and move our foundation to a different foundation. It's something that psychologists will call parallel play. In other words, you do your thing, I'll do mine. You do what's right for you, I'll do what's right for me. And what you are teaching them as your children, that's your truth, but not the truth. Well, of course, we would say that's not right. But postmodernism thinking has convinced the masses that all truth is subjective. So it's not truth, it's your truth. A philosopher by the name of Stephen Hicks, he says this about it. Postmodern professors, their primary role is to now teach students to identify political oppression, particularly those of their own Western culture, where the primary perpetrators of political oppression are males, white, and the rich, who have used their power cruelly at the expense of women, racial minorities, and the poor. We can see that in our culture, right? That mindset, that thinking. Our schools are kind of split between modernism, which is based on science as a source of truth, and postmodernism, which is there's no truth. I mean, imagine those that teach at the high school, okay? Now, you teach English, right? Okay, that's all subjective anyway. And I ain't going to talk the way you want me to talk. So there. But you can imagine a math teacher trying to factor in postmodernism, all truth is subjective, into 2 + 2 = 4. So they have a mix of both. And but we do the same thing. Let me just throw this out there to you. Consider this. Anything that we read, okay, whether it's by the almighty Google or Facebook or anything online, anything that we read that begins with scientific studies show, we believe it as absolute truth because there was a scientific study, science, okay? But many times we begin our Bible studies or approach Bible studies with, what does this verse mean to you? And now we're bringing in subjective truth into Bible study. But something we read on the internet that came from a scientific study, we accept it as true, especially if it's from a place that we think is credible. We have to be careful with our Bible study, don't we? Let's move on. Number two in your outlines, recognize the message. So the postmodern thinking doesn't come at us directly, okay? Obviously, the example I just gave you, it does appear to be a factor in many young people leaving the church. But when did it start for them? It was probably, as I've alluded to, a lot of little seeds that had been planted over the years that eventually took root. Little subtle messages, little ways of thinking. By themselves, they seemed harmless. We ignore them. No big deal. But you put several of them together and a whole way of thinking begins to develop. What are some of those messages? We need to be able to recognize them as they're coming into our minds. How about this one here? Deconstructing any truth claim to show bias. Now, we'll see this in the media as adults, okay? And probably, just because someone says it's the truth doesn't mean it's truth. The postmodern way of thinking is basically attack the messenger. And you can see that when they're interviewing a conservative or a Christian, okay? They attack the messenger. They don't even try to deal with the message. Because if they can deconstruct the truth claim by showing that the messenger has a bias, then they can just reject it altogether. When they do that, that makes this person's truth claim to be just their version of the truth. It's true for them. Here's another one. When people use I feel instead of I think. Okay, sometimes there's nothing wrong with saying I feel. Okay, I just want to clarify that. But postmodern thinking demands that all truth begins with I feel. One author used this example. Someone spits in your face. Yeah, already some of you have a problem right now, okay? Someone spits in your face and you say to them, you acted disrespectfully to me when you spit in my face. But no. Postmodernism would say, we should say, you know, I felt disrespected when you spit in my face. I felt like you were putting me down when you told me that I sinned. I felt. And that's where emotionalism that we've already talked about comes to play into this as well. How about this one here? Nobody knows for sure. The main idea of postmodernism is because there's no real truth, because we all have different opinions and preferences, we can't trust any one perspective. Bible is long gone by this time, folks. Okay? It is just a book of fairy tales along with this line of thinking here. Another message is you have to figure it out for yourself. Oh, this one's good. This one's good. Everything, all truth comes down to this. It sounds like an adventure, doesn't it? Back in the 60s, what did they call that? Someone takes off and joins a caravan of hippies. They're off trying to find themselves, right? Okay, yeah, those in the 60s, you came out with that one. Same thing, but just different terminology, okay? People have, and to a young person, it really does sound like an adventure because people have been telling them their entire life what to do, what to believe, and now postmodernism is telling them they can decide for themselves what to believe. You're a big boy now. You're a big girl now. You're an adult. It's time for you to decide what you're going to believe, okay? And it's a huge adventure. It's their journey. Their journey through life. And you'll hear that phrase. Things being called a journey. Everyone is on their own journey. Boy, that sounds good, doesn't it? Unless you don't like to travel. But 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, it says this. For the time will come, it already has, folks, when they will not endure sound doctrine, objective truth from God's word, but after their own lusts, their feelings, their preferences, their perspectives, shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, that's an interesting phrase on the end there, okay? They're rejecting the Bible and they're bringing in, they're listening to things that make them feel good. My dogs love to have their ears itched. And they will sit there next to me on the couch for as long as I sit there and as long as I got my two fingers, one behind each ear, and just rub those ears, scratch those ears back there. They love it. Apparently it feels good. I don't know. I try to get my wife to scratch behind my ears. She won't do it. But that's the analogy here. Heaping to yourself teachers because I have itchy ears. Did you catch that there? Even when Paul wrote 2 Timothy, he was already talking about emotionalism, feelings, what makes them feel good about themselves. Number three, the lies of postmodernism. Okay, lie number one. Our perceptions determine reality. What is real to you may not be real to me because it's just based on our perceptions, okay? Think about how this plays out if you approach a girl, just as an example, you approach a girl who feels that she's a boy. And you refer to her as a she. And that's an issue today, okay? In Canada, you could be charged with a hate crime for doing that. And imagine that. Because this person, this girl's perception of reality, her perceptions has determined what reality is. It's a hate crime. In some schools, I've been told, I don't know about Taylorville, but I know in some schools, teachers have been told they could lose their jobs if they don't refer to that student with the proper pronoun that they're identifying with that day. I mean, it's getting crazy. This is where it's coming from. Here's line number two. All truth claims are power plays. Someone states the truth is really, they're just trying to gain power over you. Okay, so then what do we do with this verse? What would postmodernism do with this verse? John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to God but by me. Wow. There it is. Jesus, a male. Power, oppression, trying to keep us down, trying to keep us from our journey to find God in life. What does postmodernism do with that? They reject it, of course, obviously. To claim this absolute truth is so threatening to postmodernist thinking. When we look at other absolutes that we find in the Bible, how do we respond to those? Now, John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to God but by me. And we would all to that say, amen. That is right. So how do we respond to other absolutes in the Bible? How do we personally respond to other absolutes that are in the Bible? Do we accept them? And here's where looking at how Christianity has slid over on some shifty sand in some regards. Do we accept them? We maybe don't understand them, but we accept them because they came from the source of truth, from God. So we're not going to question it. I don't get it. I don't understand it. For example, I don't understand why the Bible says a deacon has to be the husband of one wife. I don't get that. I don't understand it. But it's absolute truth. Okay? But what happens in churches, thankfully not ours, because we hold to what God's Word says. In some churches, well, yeah, but he really has so much to offer. And it really wasn't his fault. Or, and now we just left objective truth and we're going to subjective truth, even feelings and emotionalism. So what do we do with other absolutes? Do we try to find ways around them? What I would call spiritual loopholes. Reinterpret a verse so that, oh yeah, we can get around this very clear statement that God makes. Folks, Christianity is all about truth. For example, the truth of Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection. Amen, right? But it's not just these truths that we should be amening. We should also be standing behind the moral truths and the truth that he taught about his church and how things should be. We have to stand behind all truth. It's really problematic when we start picking and choosing which truths that we're going to amen. What's the solution? Well, for all of these lies, we have to point out the inconsistencies of their statements. Remember, I think it was 2 weeks ago, maybe three, we looked at the term self-defeating statements. And these are statements that make a statement, but their statement defeats the statement they're making. Let me give you an example. You can't know real truth. I have studied it. I've come to this conclusion, this determination. Here's my truth statement. You can't know real truth. Well, that very statement, you can't know real truth, just defeated my truth statement that I gave you. You can't know real truth. Self-defeating statements. And in postmodernistic thinking, those kinds of statements are all over the place. So we have to point them out to ourselves, to our friends, to our children. Okay? The solution is to go back to the truth, go back to God's Word, and begin to look at it as it is, objective truth. And look at it, and as we're looking at it, asking ourselves, okay, I'm accepting the absolute truth of the life, the death, the resurrection of Christ, but I'm not accepting this truth. We need to be aware when we're doing that ourselves. Okay, so let's stop there for tonight. Let's go ahead and break up into our prayer groups.